Hi, Dennis Neubacher here with Facebook Live. It's like almost the last Tuesday of the month. We're coming up on Memorial Day weekend. Dennis Neubacher joined by First Lieutenant Michael Shaw, the Michigan State Police. We're going to talk about dangerous intersections and some of the ones that you may have experienced that you're concerned about, why you think they may be dangerous intersections. So think about this for the next few minutes, because before we do that, I'd like to talk to Lieutenant Shaw, First Lieutenant Michael Shaw, about a couple of other things that have concerned us, and I'm not blindsiding him with these questions. I don't believe, but they're more of a, we're concerned.
Okay.
A couple nights ago, a couple days ago, a friend helped a friend on I-69, and it's all hit us because you call somebody and say, hey, listen, I need gas on the freeway. He did that to come out to help this woman. And he unfortunately lost his life. Talk a little bit about this situation. It doesn't just happen to Good Samaritans. I'm seeing it happen to tow truck drivers. What happened here?
So basically, what we need to think about is how fast traffic really goes on the freeway. We also know that we have a huge distracted driving problem. So when you kind of go look at it, the days of helping somebody out or bringing gas out there or things like that are probably pretty much done. We try not to do it with all the lights and everything that are on our patrol cars, with all the lights on tow trucks, ambulances, huge fire trucks. People are still hitting those every day. So you can imagine somebody that's just stopped on the side of the road. So we talk about the move over law a little bit, and we want it to apply not legally, but to just people that are sitting on the side of the road. You know, give them a little bit of space too as they're trying to change their tire. But we're asking people, if you get stuck out there and you need some gas, don't be afraid to give us a call. We'll be more than happy. Down here in the Detroit area, we have the MDOT service vans that will come out there. They have gas on board. They'll be able to come out there and provide you not only a little bit of traffic protection, but it is a shame that, you know, somebody that's just trying to do a good deed is going to go out there and, you know, and end up losing their lives or something like that.
The insurance companies, we all have, a lot of us have the road patrol, so to speak. They come out and help. Would that be a call you could make as well?
So that's another thing. If you do have that opportunity, or you have that when you purchase your vehicle, or you're part of AAA or one of the other road services, then that's also an opportunity. But take advantage of those MDOT service vans. All it is a call to 911 and tell them you need a service van to come out and help you on the freeway, and they'll be out there within a half hour or so.
And you're suggesting, if you're stuck on the side of the road, instead of calling a friend because of the dangers of the speed on the freeway, to not call a friend, because obviously now a whole bunch of families are involved in this, and it's very sad what's going to happen. Funerals coming up this week as well. Call somebody who is a professional who can handle a situation like this.
Absolutely. Sometimes we'll send out that service van. Sometimes in my 24 years today career, I've changed tires for people. We've done that stuff as well. Nice. So, you know, we can kind of help out with that program where somebody that's in a vehicle that's not properly marked is going to have a little bit more trouble. And we've seen this a little bit now. Last year, I believe we had somebody that was helping somebody inside the road, and they were struck by a drunk driver. And you know, as we kind of go along. So sometimes it's better to get those proper emergency services to come out there and help you than it is to have a friend go by there. And we know that sometimes I get that quite a bit. You know, well, we don't want to bother law enforcement. We don't want to bother the troopers. They have other things to do than come help us. We don't. That's one of our functions, is to help the community, help the travelers as they're moving up and down the freeways. And if you end up stuck out there or you need some gas or something, you know, we'd rather you call us and we come out there and help you than just call an unmarked vehicle out there.
You mentioned the one incident from the past that was a case of distracted driving. I know you can't talk about this case in general on I-69. Is that what you're seeing? The distracted driving is the real reason for this? Drunk driving is another reason, or drugged driving is another reason? Is this what may have happened?
So we're seeing that in a lot of stuff. We'll talk about a little bit as we go into dangerous intersections. You know, distracted driving is a major cause in a lot of the crashes that we're seeing out there now, just from people not paying attention. We've talked about that. The governor talked about the hands-free law as far as cell phones goes in her State of the State address. There's a lot of things that are going inside that car other than driving, and it's contributing to a lot of these other things that we're starting to see out there, with, you know, people getting struck on the side of the road, people running into patrol cars, you know, people missing red lights and things like that.
What's the percentage, you think, of this happening now, distracted driving, as part of the contributing factor of an accident?
So the biggest problem that we have with that is we usually didn't ask questions like that. So, you know, if a trooper went out there and there was a rear end crash, you know, he went up there, you're at fault, here's your ticket, here's your verbal verbal warning. Here's your report number for your insurance company, and away you went. We didn't ask, you know, what were you doing beforehand when you ran into that? Our troopers are doing that now. We're starting to talk to people about what was going on prior to this event, so we can gain those stats to see, you know, exactly what kind of problem it is and what we can do to kind of fix it. When we look at different intersections or, you know, 75 and Sashabaugh, I talk about that. I think I hear you call out a crash at 75 and Sashabaugh every day, and that is a straight laned freeway. There is no reason at all to ever get in a crash on 75 and Sashabaugh except for human error. And we know that usually 9 out of 10 times that human error is going to be some type of distraction.
So you're getting some insight now when you're doing the accident investigations. Very interesting too. And drugged and drunk driving is still a contributing factor.
Absolutely.
Okay, very good. We're going to get to the intersections, the concerns about the intersections with First Lieutenant Michael Shaw of the Michigan State Police. Based on that, the impression I get is that based on last year's statistics and the years before, it appears to be that fatalities are up this year. Am I reading this correctly? Yep.
So actually fatalities are down this year, slightly.
Well, that's good.
So slightly on both end crashes. Yep. Not a measurable amount, but they're kind of working better in that direction. So we're under 1,000 crashes or 1,000 fatalities. We had over 1,000 last year. So we're kind of under that just a little bit, but we're still seeing it out there quite often. And again, it's, you know, it's the distracted driving. It's the things that the human error portion of it that's kind of doing that for us.
Two other things. I think that's what really has surprised me on some of the accidents when we're hearing more of the information. Of course, we don't go beyond that, but we're trying to report it, is how many people are being ejected from their cars and trucks. I can't get over, and we're finding out they're not wearing their seatbelts. Obviously, I'm thinking that the seatbelt's not failing. The shoulder harness is not failing. So they're not wearing them. What is their thinking about this?
So Michigan, we're pretty solid in seatbelt use. We're about a 92% for the state right now. So that's a good thing. But it's that 8% that's causing the problems for everybody else as far as, you know, going through there. And one of the commercials that we have out there now is we're not talking about tickets or anything. You know, yes, we have click it or ticket going on through there. But we're talking about what people are going to do when you're gone. If you get ejected from a car, you're probably dead. There's no sugarcoating it. There's no saying anything nice about it. If you don't have your seatbelt on and you're ejected from your vehicle, you are dead. I am going to your house. I am going to tell your family that you are gone. And the reason that you're gone is you didn't wear your seatbelt. Mm-hmm. So that's the angle that we're looking at it kind of now, because we've gotten most people that are going to comply either through, you know, a ticket or a voluntary. We got that last 8% out there that are just going to be the diehards for whatever reason. And, you know, no pun intended, but, you know, that's what's going to happen. And that's kind of what we're talking about now is if you don't want to wear your seatbelt for yourself, then wear it for your family, for other people.
Okay, one other thing, too, before we get to the intersections, again, chime in if you think of an intersection that bothers you. Obviously, there's a list of them that we're going to have here, too. Lieutenant Shaw is going to chime in on this as well. But saw the flooding recently. This was a surprise, too, to a lot of us. Not so much a surprise of the flooding, although there was quite a bit more, I think, than a lot of us were expecting. But how many people were driving in to the flooded waters? Now, I guess a lot of us think we're going to make it, but what is the depth of the water we should be thinking about, or should we even be thinking about the depth of the water before we even decide to drive in?
So you should never drive through standing water. It takes about 6 inches to start to move your car around, cause you some difficulties. So when you look at there, everybody knows the tunnel on M10 underneath Cobalt Hall. We all know that gets about anywhere between 6 to 8 feet of water when that does flood. Still got people that just plow right into there and, you know, and hope for the best. If the water comes up over your tailpipe, you're done. It's just going to
stall
your
engine
car
out at that point.
Knock your car out, and you're kind of stuck in there. And then we got to send either a tow truck driver, a trooper, or somebody to come save you. So if you see standing water out there, you're better off just to take another route, go around it, you know, listen to WWJ, listen to, you know, local news to kind of tell you where the flooding's going on. And then you can kind of replan your route. Yeah. I think that's the biggest problem that we see a lot of times is people only know one way to get to work and one way home.
Yeah.
And if there's any deviation to that one way there or one way back, they're done.
I know, confuse them. This Waze app that we're now involving on our traffic, which is really great. We appreciate all the Wazers. They really offer a lot of alternatives to folks to get around some of these problems that are on the freeways. So maybe that's going to help as well.
Absolutely.
We try to remember to give alternatives, but a lot of times in the morning for me, I'm hesitant because I don't want people to get on some of these roads where the school buses are, where they're not used to driving on these roads. They start driving faster. They don't know the lights. They don't know anything. Right. Then they cause accidents. Right. That causes a problem. Yep.
It does. And a lot of times, even if MDOT sets a specific route that says that's a detour, when you cram all that extra traffic on there that you're not used to, that causes crashes out there as well, which causes backups in that area.
Right.
So right now with the construction that we're seeing out there, I don't think anybody can name a road right now that there's not construction on, which is a good thing. You know, MDOT's doing, you know, exactly what they're supposed to be doing, but you got to have some couple routes in mind every time that you kind of go out there so you don't get, you know, stuck.
That's
that
a good
way.
Idea. But plan ahead.
Plan ahead.
Relax, take a deep breath when you get in the car. Okay, let's get to the intersections, okay? What intersections are dangerous for your commute? There's a list here that was on our website, wwjradio.com, and these were revealed as the worst intersections, and there are many of them here. There's a list of them here. I can go down this list, but I think what we'll probably end up doing is showing just a few of the ones that we saw, and we've got some views of them too. There's the number two on the list right here is 14 Mile and Orchard Lake Road. Why don't we try to do that right now? See, first of all, you have indicated some objections to the ranking here, so to speak. What's your thoughts?
Every intersection is dangerous. Yeah. No matter what, because you have traffic that's crossing each other, that's always dangerous.
Right.
So when these for-profit companies come out there and they take a look at it, you know, what criteria are they actually using as it being dangerous? So for MSP, we just throw the stats out there. We don't rank them. There's a lot of times that you'll see these are compiled by the Michigan State Police, and that's not true at all. We don't rank anything. There's nothing that happens to that effect. For me, the most dangerous intersection is the one where somebody hits me in. That just became number one, life, and that just becomes number one in everybody else's.
Sure.
So when you look at these intersections, they're all dangerous and you all have to use precaution, but don't kind of take a look at it because one of them may do it by numbers. You know, they may say we had 150 crashes here and two injuries. So this is the most dangerous one. Or another for-profit company will come out there and make another list and they'll do it on different criteria. So, you know, stats can be manipulated however you want to do it.
Sure.
So consider all intersections dangerous and drive appropriately when you kind of go through there.
Right.
There's one intersection that's not so dangerous. And now this is where I'll get booed and all the hate mail will come up there is a roundabout. And roundabouts are statistically proven to reduce crashes in intersections. And then the crashes that do happen usually are very minor fender benders. So people will say that roundabouts are bad. No, it's just the drivers that's uneducated using these roundabouts. That's how we're going to really reduce a lot of these crashes. So I would expect to see more roundabouts instead of less.
Okay, you've been in them a lot because you're not only in your job, but obviously on a personal level. What is your suggestion to eliminate some of the accidents we are seeing in the roundabouts? Because there are people who still just go, I avoid these if I can.
Right.
I got an accident the last time. Generally, find out the reason why. Yeah. What's the reason
why? So basically, there's two reasons that it happens. One, they don't yield. So when you come up on the roundabout, there's a yield sign there. Okay, you got to yield.
Right.
So as kids, we're always taught by mom, you know, how to stop. You know, mom says, stop that. Don't do that. Don't stop. Nobody ever teaches us how to yield.
That's true.
What you got to do is you kind of slow down and you look for that break of traffic and you get in.
Okay.
And then once you get into that lane, you have to do what that lane tells you to do. Because the other lane's doing it as well. So we'll see a lot of crashes where people will think that they can dart over into the other lane where that traffic's continuing on.
Mm-hmm.
So just follow it around. And, you know, we've all seen European Vacation. If you did it wrong the first time, then go around and see Big Ben and Parliament again until you can work your way over and kind of get off on that roundabout.
Sure.
That's the best part about it is it's just a circle. You're not going anywhere. You just got to get in that right lane to go where you're supposed to go.
Motorcyclists have been a little bit concerned about them as well.
Yep. And that's the thing for a motorcycle. Just because of the yield factor is it's hard for people to see bikes anyway, so they don't really look for them.
Right.
So as they're working their way around that roundabout, somebody may focus on the car that's behind them and not actually see that motorcycle. So motorcyclists have to be particularly careful at all intersections. We know that for motorcycle safety, the main place that a crash happens isn't on the freeway, it's on the surface streets, and it's usually on an intersection, and it's usually during a left turn.
Absolutely. Okay, very good. So, okay, we talked about intersections. Any intersections really is dangerous. If you don't pay attention, you're going to be. Right. But here's some of the dangerous intersection. Let's say, first of all, what makes an intersection dangerous? Well, you kind of said that already.
Yep. So basically, you have two sets of traffic that are coming at each other at a 90-degree angle. That's what makes it bad. You got them coming towards you, they're coming from the left, and they're coming from the right. So there's some type of traffic control at that intersection to control it. Be it a smaller intersection, it's a stop sign. A larger intersection, it may be a traffic control device, like a traffic light. Yeah. And then sometime in the neighborhood, those intersections are bad too, because some of them may not mark at all, and you're going back to the basic right-of-way law, which a lot of people don't quite grasp because they don't remember.
The person on the right
has the right has the right-of-way. Okay. Absolutely.
All right. And that's what we thought with the four-way stop when the traffic signals weren't working. That doesn't work anymore.
Right.
Everybody comes to a stop.
Right. Everybody comes to a stop.
When the power's out, traffic signal's not working, everybody comes to a stop.
Even if there's nobody in that intersection, you still have to come to a complete stop.
Excellent. Okay, very good. Dangerous intersection highlights. Okay, let's go to 14 Mile and Orchard Lake Road, and I think that's going to pop up right here. There we are. Yep. That's the roundabout
to
Northwestern Highway. We had one the other day, if I'm not mistaken, Rob, an accident right here at the roundabout, 14 Mile and Orchard Lake Road. Farmington Hills, West Bloomfield area right here. Bloomfield.
So, most of the problem with this intersection is lack of education on the driver. This is going to be driver error 99% of the time. It's just because they're not kind
This is
used
the yield sign right in here, right?
So this is the yield sign. So as you come in there, if you're in this part right here, then all you got to do is just kind of follow that around, yield in the break of traffic, and kind of go through.
That means you go west on 14.
That means you're going west right on 14 Mile. If you kind of look at this one, it's the same thing. You come up here, you yield, you wait for the traffic to clear. You come in here, and this one says that you got to go straight. So now you're going down Orchard Lake.
There you go.
Pretty simple. As you come up this one, you yield for a break, and it tells you that you can either continue around or go straight. If you continue around, you kind of work your way around like looking at Big Ben or Parliament, or you can come around this way and get off on 14 Mile that way.
Sure.
So it's just slowing down enough. A lot of people come into the roundabout too fast, so they're coming in hot.
There you go.
So you're not yielding to that traffic right away. And 99% of the time, that's where we find our crashes, is somebody will fail to yield to traffic because they expect them to do something else instead of what they're doing. And then that's where those crashes will happen.
Okay.
So if we yield here, this intersection will completely go away.
Trucks in and out of here, okay. That looks
same
to
me
big enough. Same thing, same way. Okay, very good.
Yes, sir. The Plymouth roundabout has those screens. Can you talk about that at all?
That one I'm not familiar with.
Well,
where's the screen where you can't see the traffic coming at you.
Oh, did they?
Seen that?
No, I have not seen that. We're talking about George's offer about at Plymouth Road. There's a screen now. You cannot see the traffic coming the other direction.
I will look into that next time we have this.
Plymouth Road.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Where in Plymouth Road? I wonder. I've got to think about it. Is it out in the Ann Arbor area?
Yeah, we'll look into that one and find out there.
Is it in the Ann Arbor area, or are we back closer to Detroit on that?
Towards Detroit.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. We need to look at that. That's a good one. That's a good point.
Okay.
All right. 12 Mile and Telegraph. This is like crazy, this intersection. Here we go right there. There's 12 and Telegraph.
So this one, the biggest is just the amount of traffic that's here. If anybody's familiar with Telegraph and 12 Mile, you got 12 Oak Mall over here. You got a bunch of shopping over here. But it's the same thing as you kind of look at it. And the biggest factor for this intersection is people that don't pay attention to the traffic light. So we try to get that pink light as we kind of go through, or somebody jumps a little early.
Sure.
And that's where a lot of the crashes happen here. So you have to make sure, if you're a driver, take that look, even though the light turns green and you have to go, so the guy behind you don't be landing on the horn. Take that look, because a lot of people are trying to sneak through these intersections now, especially you've been sitting there for a while.
Sure.
So you've been sitting there for a while, your patience is gone. The light
turns.
I saw
somebody the other day in front of me. He didn't even stay. He got so tired of waiting.
Yep.
He just left.
They'll just go. Yep. So they'll kind of go, and they'll be like the last, the last third car will be usually the one that doesn't quite make it through the intersection and ends up in that crash.
Right.
So that's one thing. You got to pay attention to these traffic control devices. You got to pack your
That yellow traffic signal to me says a lot. That even though it's yellow, it's kind of benign.
Yep.
It's red and green. They're pretty standout.
Yep.
There's certain definitions. But the
Absolutely.
Yellow has a lot of factors involved. Yep. How do you handle a yellow light? How do I'm thinking, here's 696 down here. I need to get into this far right lane because I need to get onto westbound 696.
Right.
So I'm all the way over here. The yellow light starts right about here. What do I have to do here?
Right. So if you're not in the intersection and you can stop, you're required by stop. You can actually get a traffic ticket for running a yellow light. There's not a lot of people that get it.
Okay.
I don't think I ever wrote in one, but I did pull people over for it and kind of warned them that, hey, you running that yellow light when you could have stopped, you should have stopped.
Okay.
And that will kind of alleviate a lot of the problem.
You know, I think a lot of people think that, well, if
yellow
I'm not
doesn't
in the
mean go fast.
Yeah, well, exactly. But they also think, well, if it's not red when I'm going through the intersection, if it turns red as I'm going underneath, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds kind of like your borderline here. You're in trouble.
That's not correct. Yeah. So if it's yellow and you can stop, you are required by law to stop. And that would alleviate a lot of those actual intersection crashes as well.
But do you think people are hesitant to because they're worried about people behind them that are following closely? If you step on the brake and it's yellow and you're trying to stop, you're doing the right thing, but the guy behind you, the woman behind you doesn't do it.
Yep.
They hit you. And they're in trouble, I know,
right?
But you're hurt.
Yep. But if you continue on and you go through there and then you hit somebody else, now you're at fault.
Okay.
So
okay.
now you're at fault in the crash. Yeah. You're still hurt. You may have hurt somebody else and you're going to be found at fault. So, you know, what we have to tell people again is, you know, following distance. We talk about that quite often is, you know, the lack of following distance causes a lot of crashes in Metro Detroit because people do the same thing because we get so used to the fact of we think that person's going to blow that yellow light. So I'm going to blow it too. So I'm going to get right up on them so I can get under there too. And that's what causes another bunch of those crashes.
Yeah. It's a habit too, isn't it? You have to start anticipating approaching the intersection. The other thing my dad taught me a long time ago, he says, when the light turns green, don't rush to go through the intersection. Look left, quick, look right, maybe a second or two, just to pause.
Right.
A lot of times you'll just be fortunate because you did do that.
Right. Absolutely. And we do that quite often where even running lights and siren that we almost come to a complete stop at that intersection because we know that somebody is either going to have the earbuds in or they're going to be in la la land somewhere and not paying attention. We rather have them blow past us and then continue on to where we're going because we can't help somebody if we end up in a crash.
By the way, I was at a funeral the other day and these funeral homes are, unless it's a short distance during the week when they can do it, they're not running the funeral processions anymore.
Correct.
They're done with them.
They said
they can't do it because there are too many accidents.
Right.
Too many chances are taken by people.
Yeah, unfortunately, we've seen a lot of crashes with those very long processions. People don't wait. They don't respect them like they used to, and they'll try to cut in between them. So a lot of funeral homes just don't do it anymore, or else they try to get law enforsement to go with them.
Yeah, okay, very good. Okay, it's going to Telegraph and Schoolcraft. This is that one, if I'm not mistaken, that big flyover bridge there.
Yeah,
there's our famous White Castle. I've been there before.
Right. Yep. So this one, I think even when you look at it on the map here, you're confused as it kind of comes up on there. So as you come along here, there's a lot of problems here. These are no turn on red.
Right.
Some people are very familiar with it. I know some locals do some pretty good enforcement in that area.
Right.
And also, you
Redford
know,
Township, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't want to call anybody out, but okay.
Sure. they work hard here. Yep. This is a bad, this bad
so,
spot.
So as they kind of come along here, you know, there's different lanes that tell you in different directions you got to go. So this one you got to kind of plan ahead for as you're kind of coming up there. Know what lane you're in and where you're headed before you go in there.
Right.
And that will kind of help you out here. But again, what makes this dangerous is there's just so much traffic coming in different directions that you really got to pay attention to what's going on.
It looks like drivers overwhelm this intersection during rush hour.
The
backup basically extends almost back to Beach Daily on the eastbound side. Mm-hmm. That's really, if you're stuck in that backup, it's not anybody else's fault but your own to be stuck.
You need
I've been back there.
Right.
And I've looked behind me and thought, please don't hit me. I've seen people put their four-way flashers on because they want to warn people.
Right.
What plan ahead. Exit at Beach Daily, go beyond the hour drive, but nobody wants to do that.
Nobody wants to do that because it takes
you out
of your way.
Is this a traffic signal problem up here?
I think some of it may be a timing issue that does that, but also, you know, everybody's trying to get on the freeway.
Right.
So this is a major way onto the freeway.
Absolutely.
You know, you got Telegraph, that's a major thoroughfare that goes through that people try to go different directions. So, you know, this everything kind of meets right here in this little hub here. So this is one of those intersections that are just dangerous by their nature.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Telegraph and 996, now Hall Road and Shaner. That's a very popular one, too, up on the east side. There it is right there. We can actually do a round view of this if we wanted to. And there's all sorts of activity. Yep. This is a busy intersection. It's crazy.
This intersection is busy. For one, anybody that goes up and down Hall Road knows that entire roadway is just busy. Even though they've done a lot of construction and opened it up, it's just a busy spot. There's so many places to go for shopping, things like that.
Right.
There's a lot of distraction on the side of the road by itself, even without somebody picking up a cell phone or doing anything different.
Right.
There's just a lot. lot of stuff going on there. And then this is another one. This is one of the main areas where they do Operation Ghost Rider during distracted driving time.
Oh, wow.
And okay. we end up not doing a lot of distracted driving here. We do a lot of signal enforcement where people are running a lot of red lights in this area because, again, you get upset because you've been on Hall Road forever, M59, depending on where you're at on it, and you've been waiting in that traffic, and you come up to that intersection and it turns yellow, and then you're like, well, I'm gonna give it my best shot, and then it turns red, and as you kind of plow there, and somebody nails you broadside. So you got to pay attention to those signals.
Well, and for me, who is a West Sider, you know, the East Side, West Side, it's different. You have to right. plan ahead. If you're going to the East Side, let's say for a wedding or a get together this coming weekend for the holidays, in fact,
right.
if you're not used to M59, you come off of that freeway and approach Mound Road to Van Dyke, that slowdown that
Absolutely.
Becomes all right. of a sudden to you is scared the heck out of me.
Right.
And
yeah.
then you got to decide when you get to 53 if you want to go north or south,
right.
what lane to get into. Mm. It's a very confusing area.
Yes.
What do you suggest to people who are getting involved like me and going, well, it's new to me. I don't know what to do here.
Yep. Yeah. So you can do a lot of things. You can take a look at it, you know, Google Maps and stuff. There's so much stuff out there now beforehand, you know, and
you
a lot
of Google Earth, by the way, do you look at the satellite images?
You can look at Google Earth. You can go there. You can go Waze. There's so many other things out there before you get in the car. Not, you know, while you're doing it, but before you get
we're
in the
all
car.
We're all in a hurry. We don't want to do that.
Take a look at your route and see where that's kind of taking you as you go along. And you can look at these intersections and see where you got to go. And a lot of times that people use that voice GPS, it's going to start to tell you where you have to be beforehand. And you got to kind of, we're guys. So the GPS can't be right.
No.
I must be, you know, always correct in my directions.
Sure.
So, you know, you kind of doubt it. And if there's nothing wrong with turning around and going up to the next one and coming back around if you mess it up. I think a lot of people don't do that. When we try to pass people in traffic, we always try to speed up and go around them instead of, if you just slow down, you could phase right back in behind them.
Yeah.
If you miss your lane and you're not supposed to turn, instead of turning on your turn signal in the right lane and trying to wait for all the traffic to clear, just go up to the next turnaround and do it. It's not rocket science. It's just driving a car.
I'm getting the impression if we don't cooperate, we're going to have autonomous vehicles quicker than I think because they're going to want to take the car.
They're going to take everybody out of it.
Exactly. Take the human error. Again, we're talking about dangerous intersections in the Detroit area. You have anything you want to say, any comments, please share this information. We thank you for looking in with First Lieutenant Michael Shaw talking about this right now. This is another one. Our producer Rob Vlasic lives downriver. There have been a lot of accidents everywhere. I've been reporting lately, I don't know how many, West 94 in Jackson area. How many along southbound I-75? He's witnessed to the south of the city, and we'll take a look at this right now, at this one that he drove by right here. And I think I can click it twice. Is that right?
Darryl.
Oh, yeah, those Darryl. We'll go back to Darryl. I forgot Darryl.
Yeah.
But this is an intersection or a situation.
Yesterday.
Overturn. And I think this is a gravel hauler, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah.
So, first of all, this is not to begrudge the work that gravel haul people do. They do hard work. But there appear to be a number of gravel haul accidents. Can we point a finger of blame, not necessarily at companies? Are they trying to make a load fast to get to one from point A to point B? What's happening here? Well, that load starts to shift, that pup starts to shake, and it starts to wag, basically. And this is what happens.
Yeah. So about 90%
of people are getting, don't get me wrong, and people are truck, I love the truck drivers. They're the best drivers. They help us out a lot, but they get cut off. They have to stop suddenly because people don't like them.
Right.
They don't like fuel tank haulers. Like, I can't believe that. But in this instance, who knows what happened here?
Right.
I don't know. But this
so
is, this
you
is
do
we'll
see some of that. So some of it is speed, but a lot of it, unfortunately, is we're seeing a lot of people that just aren't giving semi trucks the room that they used to have. It used to be kind of a rule, you know, if you can't see my mirrors, I can't see you type of deal, where it used to be on the back of all the trucks.
Right.
Well, now people are we're not giving enough room to little tiny, you know, Kia Souls, let alone, you know, a big semi like this. And a lot of the semi drivers, they'll tell you after these crashes and stuff, you know, I had a couple of choices. I could run over the little car that cut me off, or I can, you know, jam on the brakes and hope I can ride it out. Or I'm going to put it into the wall or into the ditch because I don't want to kill anybody.
They may have saved some lives.
So they may have saved some lives.
My apologies. Yeah.
There's also a couple of drivers out there that are probably going a little bit too fast.
Yeah.
And you can usually tell there if it's a single vehicle crash involving a semi and it's on a ramp, that is in a curve, that means the truck driver is going too fast for the curve.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty easy to see.
Yeah.
Usually
yeah.
if it's in traffic like
yeah.
this, usually the problem is somebody cut this poor, poor person off.
Yeah, boy, so. After saying that, I'm feeling kind of badly because I have such a nice, all a good relationship with all the folks that that listen to WWJ. This was, again, not to misalign how my feeling,
right.
the truckers are the greatest.
Yep.
But when you see this, you say to yourself, God, how did this happen?
Right.
But
yep.
now saying, hey, listen, you may have saved a life in the process, that's good. But it happens in certain areas a lot,
right.
too.
Right, yeah.
Is there a reason for that?
And some of it is kind of weird. A lot of when we talk about the ramps, you know, we see a lot of the semi-crashes on the ramps just because they're going too fast for, you know, the little yellow sign that's on there, the prima facie speed limit, that's the suggested speed limit that goes around there.
Right.
Usually if you go over that, and those are actually set almost like half what they're supposed to be just to kind of get people to slow down a bit. Usually that's on the semi. Usually if it's just a semi driving straight down the freeway, usually they got cut off by somebody.
Okay.
So we've seen 75 in this area. I talked about 75 in Sashabaugh, a straight lane road every morning. You know, you hear somebody that's involved in a crash because somebody's distracted. If you rear end somebody on a straight road, just throw your hands up and ask for two tickets instead of one. It's a bonus.
And yet the 94 by Little Mac on the east side in Roseville
Township
and so on seems to be curving the road, wet pavement, and all of a sudden we have a rollover accident or an accident up against the wall and somebody spun out and so on. Driving too fast for conditions.
And I think a lot of people don't realize that. They slow down for the, it takes a little while, but you know, eventually by January or February, they slow down in the snow enough to where they kind of work their way through. In the rain, a lot of people don't pay attention regardless. You know, it's just rain, it's not really gonna affect it. But that affects you too, you know, if your tires are underinflated, if your tires are a little balding, you haven't checked them in a while, you know, you're driving a little bit too fast, that rain's gonna catch you and it's usually gonna spin you out and hit you into the wall.
I guess it doesn't take much of a film of water, does it, for hydroplaning?
It doesn't. So that's one thing that you got to kind of think about as you go through there is, you know, slow it down. If you're involved in any type of single vehicle crash, 99% of the time, that's the driver's fault.
Okay, very good. We go back to Daryl, the construction barrel. Stop on the top right here. Which one now?
The white one lower.
Right here. There we go. There's Daryl,
the construction barrel.
Bring him up here so we can see. There he is, or she.
Yeah.
Right? It's pretty bad. Yeah. It was an invention, by the way, of George Fox, who's behind the camera. Yeah. That's Daryl, the construction barrel right there.
Yeah. And know what to do after Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Is that what it is? Okay, all right.
See, and this really threw me off because, and that makes two of us. So Game of Thrones, I never watched it before.
Yeah.
So when I do my Twitter stuff, we try to do the same thing. You know, you try to make it funny, but I couldn't even make it funny because I didn't know what anybody was talking about whatsoever.
Some type of
flying dogs or dragons or whatever. Yeah. I didn't get it. But now when he jumped on the, when he put on the gauntlet, from the Avengers.
Is that right?
Then
you knew.
Now I knew exactly.
Is there a picture of him in the car?
Yeah.
Okay, right here. Okay. And then, then go down farther.
Right there.
He is. This one, I fully understand exactly what that is.
There he is. Okay.
Especially when we made one of the stones. So I think the actual soul stone, that's how geeky I am about Marvel ones. But that Game of Thrones thing, thank God that's over with so we can clear up my Twitter feed.
Well, it was nice of them. Eventually, they added the arms, right? George, did you add the arms after the fact?
Our graphic designer added arms.
Yeah, that's good. That was a good idea.
Armless.
Okay. All right. Very good. I didn't even watch the Avengers. So
Now we have issues.
Exactly. Okay. So any comments or questions that you might have, any additional information, please pass it along. Just one last thing. Holiday weekend coming up.
Yep.
People are going to be out and about. There's a lot of activity, distracted. You know, I want to get here. I want to get to the beach. I want to get to the boat. All sorts of things. There's a lot of things we could do on boat safety, I'm sure, too. But that's for another day.
Yep.
Click it or ticket. That's the big thing. And you say, I think we're doing well. You said 92%. Yep. That's pretty good.
So that's not bad, you know, compared to, I think, the national average somewhere around 89. So we're above that. But it's still not good enough yet. We still want it to be a little bit higher than, you know, where we're going.
Right.
And again, we're talking about in clicking tickets, just naturally people just think, oh, you're here.
Yeah.
And I get the revenue enhancement, that kind of garbage. But, you know, all we want to do is people to go up there and, you know, Friday, care weekend starts. We want you to go to where you got to go, hang out, have a good time with your family, come home, make it to work on Tuesday. Yeah. I mean, that's the goal for what this is for. We don't want to see anybody die on our freeways just trying to go out there. We want people, you know, to think of what Memorial Day really is, and that's an opportunity to observe the sacrifices that our military has made through, you know, our nation's history. But, you know, it's also a time for family to get together and have a good time. And, you know, if you're going to have a couple of adult beverages, you know, feel free to do so. Just make sure you don't get behind the wheel. If you're going to have a couple of adult joints, I guess, we got to cover that now. you know, don't get behind the wheel.
No.
You know, have a good time out there.
Yeah.
Be safe. You know, troopers are going to be out there. We're going to be looking for that kind of stuff. Yeah. And it's a zero tolerance.
Yeah.
So we're going to be looking for you.
Okay. Any comments or questions at all, Rob? Or
not one comment at all.
Oh, no, my gosh, that's
it. I must have covered.
Patrick, Kenton used to have three of the top 10 most dangerous intersections. Then they proposed attacks to fix the roads. He gets into Wayne County.
Patrick talking about Ford fire. Road having bad intersections.
Wayne County's a dumpster fire? Well, there are some tough, there's some tough intersections out there, but, you know, it's driver error 95% of the time. And nobody, you know, it's like enforcement. Everybody wants us to do enforcement on the roads as long as they don't enforce them.
Sure.
You know, as long as I'm getting the other guy or gal, then it's all cool. But if I get you doing something wrong, then that's when the problems start. So as you come up through these intersections, realize intersections are dangerous, roundabouts less dangerous. So I didn't even get one piece of hate mail over a roundabout. I'm pretty surprised.
That's
I should probably
say. Yeah, Rob.
Okay.
Trail Martin Parkway.
Oh, okay. Sure. Right. We had an accident this morning there.
Yeah, that's the one with the screen.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's the one with the screen.
Martin Parkway.
I hadn't driven in there that
area since
Oakland they
County
put the screen
about
up.
That.
So,
I'm not sure why.
South of Richardson Road. It's where it is, and
so
north
you
of M5.
Can't see the traffic coming in, so you have to slow down.
Well, they put the Martin Parkway in too to eliminate all the traffic that was going on Hagerty Road there. I mean, they tried to shift it over with the M5 freeway, so that helped a little bit, but there's a lot of accidents. By the way, that's a full. Put the seatbelt on too, isn't it? I've noticed people put it under their arm because they don't want to wrinkle their shirt or their tie.
So,
I've seen that too.
Hey, that's what the good Lord invented dry cleaners for. what you really want to make sure is you do that. And the reason why there is a couple reasons. So if it's not extended over here, if it's underneath your arm right here, when you get involved in that crash and that airbag comes forward and it smashes you in the face at about 200 miles an hour, that's going to be a lot worse than wrinkling your shirt. I can guarantee you that. The second thing is when that belt contracts, it's actually going to snap your ribs for you too. So there's a real reason why that seatbelt is supposed to be wearing that way. And again, it's for booster seats as well for your kids, is you always want to make sure that that strap kind of comes underneath. Now, nobody wants to tell a short, you know, 12-year-old that they should be in a booster seat, but you also don't want them to get hurt. Yeah. So sometimes you got to explain that seatbelt should go right over here. And if it's not, it's not in the right space. And sometimes you'll need a booster seat to kind of bring your child up to that size.
And is there a distance?
Is there a trick to remember where that's supposed to be? Is it like just inside the top of the shoulder?
So, so it would just kind of go, if you kind of look where my whistle that's chain is, everybody should wear a whistle chain.
Yeah.
And then you'll know where your seatbelt goes. So, but if you can kind of put it in the middle between, you know, your shoulder here and your collarbone, if it kind of sits in the middle here and it should be snug, you'll be fine.
And how about distance? Pregnant women getting in the front seat, the steering wheel's here. How much distance for a pregnant woman? And of course, they get bigger as as the months go along. So there's a distance change there too. How much distance?
So sometimes the best thing is consult with your doctor. That's the very first thing is you're being pregnant. How long do you think you can drive?
I'm talking
like
about
that.
The airbag in this instance.
But as far as the airbag goes, the airbag is actually going to go up instead of down. So it's not going to really affect that.
Okay.
Most people drive, you know, further enough from the steering wheel to do that. When we talk about back seats, now Michigan doesn't have a law 16 and under, you have to wear your seatbelt, but we're seeing a lot of our fatalities are from adults that ride in the back seat and don't put their seatbelt on.
And they're ejected.
Because they're getting ejected.
Oh, yeah.
Because when the driver and the passenger in the front seat, they jam on the brakes or whatever happens in the crash, they're protected by everything that's going on there. You have side airbags that are in the back, but you have nothing that stops you from catapulting through the front of the car and going through the windshield. So
any final comments about the upcoming holiday, any traffic points you might have, tips? You always come up with something at the end of our Facebook
Live. So,
Michael Sharp.
We're going to talk a little little bit about maybe motorcycle safety time. The motorcycles are out there. I know the weather's been a little shaky as far as we go along, but motorcycles are out there. If you're a motorcyclist, look both ways. Make sure you're endorsed. And Michigan, we don't have a helmet law, but just like a seatbelt, just like an airbag, a helmet is surely going to help you survive a traffic crash. Wear that safety equipment that makes you visible so drivers can see you.
Yeah, I'd say the weather is better now. It's getting better at the end of this week, except for the rain.
Yeah,
and then the motorcyclists, you have to say to the motorcyclists, be careful going out in the rain. Be careful on the gravel roads. You know,
absolutely.
Don't you? First Lieutenant Michael Shaw of the Michigan State Police, thank you so much. You're always a joy.
Thank you.
We really appreciate the questions and answers that you give us. They're very insightful and very helpful. We appreciate all that you help us with on Facebook, calling in at 248-4236-WWJ. You know, now with the Waze, trying to join in with that, that's been very helpful with the detours and all suggestions that you might have. These things are all very, very helpful. I don't know, I can't tell you enough how much I appreciate it as a traffic reporter, and I know the traffic reporter, Tracy McGaskill, is on right now with Jackie Page, Lance a little bit later on, KT as well, and overnights with Jeff DeFran. We appreciate it, the weekend warriors as well. I know they appreciate your calls. Do it hands-free.
Hands-free,
exactly. Or hand the phone to somebody, right? That's a good way to teach somebody.
That's what we have passengers for.
Yeah, that's what you have passengers for. Thank you, First Lieutenant Michael Shaw.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
What an honor. It's an honor to have you part of our Facebook Live again today. We'll see you next time on Facebook Live. Happy Memorial Day. Spend it wisely. Be careful. We want to talk to you again next time on Facebook Live. Take care.